There are moments when I am not sure if I want God to come. This is the season of Advent, the season we celebrate God's arrival in Jesus the Christ. We are getting ready for and celebrate Jesus coming on a quiet night in a humble manger. In the middle of the dark night, a peaceful night, a choir of angels pops their head in and sings of peace on earth. I don't have a problem with any of that. That's nice. The feeling is good. It's reassuring. If that's all that Christmas is about, I'm all for it. But the writer of 2 Peter doesn't let us rest in a quiet manger with angel choirs singing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Peter announces God's coming a little differently. For Peter, when God comes, God arrives with a dreadful sound and a consuming fire. For Peter, when God comes, everything burns. Everything is exposed. Everything. Sure, a new heaven and a new earth are great, and righteousness finding a home is wonderful, especially if it comes on golden wing and with harmonies of Noel. But if I have to burn first, if my life is to be completely exposed, if God's coming means I really have to change, then I confess, there are moments when I'm not sure if I want God to come. There are too many things that I like. There are too many things that I am attached to that I don't want to lose. There are some things that I want to securely hide away for no one else to see. If God's coming means that these things are to be given up or brought out into the light of day, then I'm not sure. How about you? It's Christmas time, Advent. Do you want God to come? Many of us don't like texts like this from 2 Peter. I am one of them. To me, it smacks too much of fear and judgment. It has been used too effectively over time to manipulate and or to beat into submission, to enslave and ensure that believers and unbelievers alike toe the line of Christian life. Perhaps it is better if we just ignore 2 Peter with his intolerance and his impolitic theology that doesn't let us hang out with the angels singing. Can't we just move on to the shepherds? So much more positive. We could leave Peter's fire and dreadful noise behind, but maybe if we hang with him a little, there is something we can discover that is life-giving. I've had a number of conversations with many of you who, like me, have attended big churches. Come from a big church background. And what I often hear backs up my own experience. When you attend a service with 1,000 people, how many of you have been to a big church? When you attend a service with 1,000 people, it's easy to hide. Easy to hide amongst the many and go unnoticed. No one stops you. No one asks who you are or how you're doing or if you could please join this committee or help with this event or cause. You just go in, you enjoy an hour of worship, and then slip out. Peter's church isn't like that. Peter's church is the kind of church where every face is known. When visitors come in, they stick out like a sore thumb. There is no hiding. There is no slipping in and out. You can't help but be noticed. It's tougher attending a church like Peter's. Especially as a visitor, it can be awkward and maybe a little embarrassing. You have to open yourself up a little. You have to maybe talk to people you may or may not know. I guess we're kind of in between here at First Press, depending on the service you choose and how fast you are to the door at the benediction. It's tougher to be in a church like Peter's. But isn't it good to be noticed? In a world that too often seems to look right past us, as if we are invisible, as if it's better just to walk right past us and ignore us, isn't it good that there is some place where we can't just slip in and out, where we are recognized and invited to open up a little? And if we dare to open up and stay a while, isn't there something good about being thought of as having something to offer, something to contribute? Isn't there something profound about being valued enough that expectations are placed on us? Isn't there something good about being needed, about being depended upon? Maybe this is at the heart of what Peter is getting at. I don't know about the specifics of God's final coming. Different writers in the Bible give different images and different perspectives on what the end will look like. Some say fire, some say a trumpet. Many different images are offered. I don't know the specifics. But maybe if we get past the end time image, maybe the specifics don't matter as much as discovering that in God's eyes, we can't hide. We can't slip in and out unnoticed. God sees too well. God cares too deeply to let us go. God values us too much not to ask something of us. That's the stuff of real relationship. I believe in you, says God. And so I am holding up the renewal of the entire creation until you are ready. Think about that for a moment. Is that really what Peter's saying? Think of God in God's workshop. And God has created this great creation. But oh, the humans begin to mess it up. Look, they begin to pollute it. They begin to treat each other badly. They don't know how to do relationships one-on-one, let alone in communities and nations and around the world. And they fight with each other. And they destroy it. And they, instead of lifting it up, they bring it down. And can you see the angels looking over God's shoulder? Hey, God, you know, maybe it's better if you just start over. Wipe it clean. Get it out of here. Let's start over. Don't give them free will next time. But God says, no, wait. 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 I see Pastor Paul. Maybe one Sunday he'll get the sermon right. Maybe one Sunday he'll keep them and let them out on time. Wait, I don't want to bring in the end until they all get it right. Perhaps Peter's message is shaking us, lighting a fire under us, to remind us that God will do whatever it takes. God will wait no matter how long it takes to create in us and among us a place where righteousness is at home. God is patient with us. Is that good news for you? God loves us enough that no matter how long it takes, God will bring new life to you and to me. The good part of it is that when we wait, we don't wait alone. That's what this table tells us. Because as God is holding the angels back and saying, wait, I think they'll get it right, With his other hand, God is giving us strength and picking us up when we fall and brushing us off when we get dusty and nudging us forward when we make mistakes, saying, I'm here for you. Yes, I'm coming. One day I will renew everything and everything will be set right, but until then, just wait. Let me walk with you and make your life in line with the new heaven and new earth that is coming. Come to this table. Discover grace and love. God is waiting and ever patient. Amen.